I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Where it just like doesn't decide that it wants to work. So we've made it all. We've made it past 5 seconds. I don't sound terrible. Tell Anthony I say thank you.
Anna says thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh my god.
We'll figure this out.
Have you tried turning it off and on again? This is literally an episode of the IT Crowd.
Yeah, it really, really is. And you know what? To be fair, we turned off and on Zencaster a lot.
We did, just not
the entire thing. Okay, well, you know, anyway.
Oh, God.
I am sad that the last episode isn't the one that worked because I called that one. Now that's what I call episode 38.
I loved that.
I mean, no,
now you're just dejected.
Yeah, this is hopefully episode 38.
So hi, everyone. Oh my God, we already did this, but not the whole thing. Anna only has to be funny the second time.
Fuck. I wasn't even funny the first time because I was so worried about it not working.
Yeah, because my face was just pained the whole time. I was just like... So Anna's audio was like really choppy and like skipping, ipping like that, like a lot. And this is probably maybe the fifth or sixth time we've tried to start recording this episode. And like Anna moved to different rooms, changed her internet, tried all of these things. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go get Anthony and his computer brain. And he was like, this is really kind of out of my depth. Have you tried turning the computer off and on again? And you know what? It fucking worked.
You know what? We got there in the end.
At least we're not afraid of self-deprecating humor.
Oh, no, because if we were, this podcast wouldn't exist.
It's our only shtick. It's all we got. Delilah says hi.
God, you
guys, it's literally okay. So it is currently 12:41 Central, 11:41
whatever time zone I'm in Phoenix.
We started this at noon / 11. So this has been it's been an arduous process. So who knows what this is gonna be like, and we're living on a hope and a prayer here. So
yeah, just like Bon Jovi said.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Not to mention, just as a disclaimer, my roof is getting worked on right now. PTL, but also it could be loud. So who knows what this is going to be like, but you know what? We're doing it, and there better not be any fucking audio skipping. Knock on things.
I'm working at like a solid wood table, so just lots of knocks.
This is a desk that my dad made for Anthony. It's very nice. Out of like family walnut. How cute is that?
That does track.
That tracks, Ralph.
Ralph, a treasure.
Really.
Okay.
You too, Jane.
Yeah. We also love Jane. I still have soap that you made me like 5 years ago.
Six.
Whatever.
All right. We believe. Third part.
Also, hi, Delilah. I know you said hi. Hi.
I can't wait to edit this. Maybe I won't.
I don't think you should. I think you should leave it all exactly like it is so that people can really understand the absolute breakdown that we have had to get to this point. Four and a half minutes in.
Uncut.
Anyway, okay, let me get my notes. I just have to make this smaller. I did pull them up because I had to put the link in there. Anyway, okay. We're doing it, everybody. Okay. The format of this pod, I have a pick. Jillman has a pick. We have some tips, we have some drops, and then we have a shared pick, okay? So here is my number three pick. Don't call it a comeback, but sort of call it a comeback. Marta is back, baby.
Also, this is She Believes, by the way. This is all She Believes related.
Yeah, all we believe that this is She Believes related. Marta is back. Okay. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, which for the second time, I assume is most of you. Oh, God. I assume most of you don't know about player injuries generally in the women's soccer world. And, you know, that's fair. But just so you know, this is a comeback because Marta tore her ACL last March. Coming back from an ACL injury can be like a really long and arduous process because it's like a ligament in the middle of your knee. It's a lot. Anyway.
Gross.
It's a long and arduous process. We will mention more about that for other players later. Spoiler alert. But for Marta, she's just like back in less than a year. No big deal. No sweat off her back. She just comes back thriving. Which I would like to point out is crab-solutely outrageous given that she has been putting her body through professional soccer since she was 14 years old.
Jeebus Christ.
She's 37 now. She has been playing professional soccer for 23 years. Anyway, I digress. Back to the pick.
That's insane.
I don't think I've done anything for 23 years besides breathing. I can't commit to something like that. Anyway.
And even then, that happens unconsciously.
It is an autonomic response.
It's Anna just... knows stuff.
I watch a lot of Jeopardy. Anyway.
Oh my God. Pause. We're not pausing. None of this is getting edited.
Nope.
Did you see that guy on Jeopardy who was like, his name was like Jake or something, and he was like, did you see him? Oh my God, he was so annoying. And Delilah and I about
died. Yes.
It was like a month ago, but we were just catching up. It was.
Yeah. I cannot stand him. He's like, and you know, he's a very specific kind of person. And I recognize the kind of person that he is. And when he lost, I cheered.
I was so, he had the poutiest face I have ever seen when he lost.
We are currently watching the, like, Return of the Teen tournament. I don't know what the fuck they're calling it.
High school reunion.
Yeah, that. Is that not Return of the Teen?
Return of the Teens. That's what we're going to call it when we get to our hat tips.
Yeah. Spoiler. But I hate Mayim Bialik as the host of that goddamn show.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And most of the fun of us watching when she is the host is us yelling, shut up, Mayim, a lot. And that's not to say that she's not like a great actress. She does other good things. But as the host of Jeopardy, I want to yeet her out of the studio.
That's the technical term. All right. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, that was like so off.
Totally worth it. I can't wait for people to listen. Anyway, we digress. Back to the pick. Marta made her comeback debut in Brazil's first game of the She Believes Cup against Japan on February 16th. Debut. I'm so sorry. Her comeback debut. On February 16th, she came into the game when it was 0-0. And then she came in the 68th minute. And then 4 minutes later, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, she assists the first goal of the entire game. A beautiful goal by Tabinha in the 72nd minute, which I will lay out for you now. We really should release the video for some of these.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Dabinha does like a little short pass out to Marta, who keeps it outside the far side of the 18, while Dabinha then runs back into the top, like the center of the field to the top of the 6-yard box to set herself up to receive what will soon be a give and go. Marta crosses the ball straight to the feet of Dabinia, like they've practiced it, and Dabinia just slams it into the back of the net. Like, what a way to enter the game after a year of not playing. Incredible. For the rest of the tournament, Marta subbed on in every game, which is super exciting given how strong Brazil looked without her throughout the tournament. And while Brazil only won a single game in the tournament, they made their presence known. They were really physical. They pressed really hard. Like, they were out there doing the damn thing. And with Marta as someone who can come off of the bench right now, let alone where she'll be in the summer, they'll definitely be a strong team in the World Cup this summer. And the first time around, I said this, and nobody could understand me, but I said that Marta wants to win a World Cup more than anything else in this world. And I hope she gets far. To be fair, I don't think Brazil will win it. I wish they would. But I hope that it's a fulfilling World Cup for Marta, because I think she knows she's coming to the end of her career, not because she couldn't keep playing, but because I think she's getting to the point where she's tired.
Yeah, definitely. And I was so sad. We had to end up leaving I was like, okay, I want to stick around in the second half to see if Marta subs on. And we waited and we really needed to go because we were trying to make it somewhere for dinner before the place closed. And then you could hear it on the the announcers were saying it as we were walking out of the stadium. I was like, no, Marta. But it's okay. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm phlegmy. I also think that I'm a lot like Marta. because I had a sprained ankle. That was really bad. Actually, I'm not like Marta because I'm too scared to play rec league soccer 5 months after. Also, my PT did not recommend it. Also, I graduated from physical therapy. Look at me.
Growth. We love to see it.
Yes. I was like, I'm not ready to jump back into fucking low level rec league adult soccer. And she's like, I had major surgery and I'm out here playing literal professional ball. So I take it back. Marta and I are nothing alike.
You mean you're not a Brazilian lesbian who plays soccer in Orlando, Florida?
I'm actually none of those things. I take it all back. But here's my number. Well, it's number two. It's our number two. My pick.
Yeah.
We Believes in Person. As you may have deduced from the fact that I mentioned it on the last pod and I already talked about it a little bit now. Much excited. I went to the She Believes Cup in Nashville. It was great. On February 19th. Oh, no. I have a microphone. On February 19th, Anthony and I went with my parents to Geodis Stadium. I don't know what the fuck Geodis is.
I was just thinking that
one. It's like a brand. Hold on. I'm just going to Google it really fast. I think it's something in Lebanon, Tennessee. Geodis.
Also.
Transport, logistics, and supply chain management.
Great. Infuriating that it's Lebanon.
Lebanon. Lebanon, Tennessee. So we went to that place in Nashville, Geodis Park. Stadium, whatever. I don't give a shit. So we went to go see the U.S. Women's National Team play Japan and also saw half plus a little more of the match between Canada and Brazil. Our tickets, it's really cool. Like, your tickets when you buy for, like, a day, it's like the doubleheader. So we got to see most of two games, which was dope. It was a packed stadium. I think that they, like, online it said sold out. They definitely had some more space in the supporters section, but I assume just like a lot of people did not want bleacher butt. So respect. But a fuck ton of people, and we love to see it. And, like, I'll have to admit, I don't love to see it. I can also hear some roofing happening, so enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Better to have a roof after a year of not having a roof. Longer than a year?
Like 8 months. It's a long time, so we're grateful for the bangs. Okay. So yes, fuck ton of people love to see that. I don't personally love to see that because crowds are overwhelming for me and I fucking hate it. And I had to, like, wade through some people and I turned into a big old bitch when I was, like, waiting through the crowd. Fun fact, got to meet M, our TikTok friend, TikTok guest, in the flesh. She's real. I'm real. Fun fact.
Crazy.
And so I had to, Anthony and I were like wading through people at halftime. And I got aggressive. Like, I think I might have pushed a kid. Because people were just standing there because, like, people couldn't distinguish between the food lines and, like, people trying to walk places. And I was like, I'm not dealing with this today, mostly because of my anxiety. But
I do love that, like, mean Jillian pushes children out of the way and regular Anna pushes children out of
the way. Anthony did come up to me. There was, like, a tiny child and a dad at the Y today, like, going down the stairs. And Anthony comes up to me. He's like, I'm going to kick that child. I was like, Anthony. Okay, so anyway, don't love crowds, but we love a good fan base for sports featuring women. I digress. And something I also enjoyed was, like, there were dads with their sons coming, just them. And I was like, fuck yes. Let's break those gender norms. Also, we know that they're better than the men.
Boy, howdy.
Okay. I do have to say that Japan kind of owned the U.S. in this match, like, a lot. We were on the defensive the vast majority of the time. And Japan had some outstanding opportunities. Like, big shout out to our keeper, Casey Murphy, and the whole back line, including Naomi Girma, who crushed. So good.
Yeah, she's incredible.
No wonder she was, like, defender and rookie of the year. I mean, amazing. And, like, the whole defensive line was good. And they saved some really nice shots from Japan. But they were just able to capitalize on our defensive weaknesses and just kept pushing the entire time. The U.S. did end up winning thanks to a goal from Mal Swanson, which we will get to in a bit. Our disapproval. it was so dope to see these players so close for the first time in almost 4 years. And it was great to see them in a competitive match in person. Like, no offense to the Ferns, who is, like, who they played both times they've been in St. Louis when I've seen them, once with Anna.
Yeah.
like, no offense to them. It's never, like, a competitive match with them. They win, like, 4-0. So it was really good to see the U.S. to have to fight, like, with my two eyes. Yes. I mean, not that I don't. I use my eyes with the television, but you know what I mean. Why do I have so much phlegm? I don't.
Because you're in your 30s. It's what happens.
I don't. Okay. It was also great to see Canada and Brazil play. I have never seen any other national teams play unless they were playing the U.S. women's national team. So that was a very good experience. And I had never seen either of these teams play. So that match was hella physical, which is not surprising because Canada was playing. Derp.
Alicia Chapman looking at you.
Oh my god. I was but there were a lot of fouls on both sides. Canada ended up winning that game 2-0 against Brazil, and we did get to see the first goal. The second one happened, I think, after we had departed. And we were definitely rooting for Canada because of some bullshit going on there, which we'll also get to in a minute. Just, like, lots of little breadcrumbs for you for what's coming next. Like, I want you to get excited. Overall, it was such an awesome time. So much energy in the stadium. It was great. Loved it. Love it. Would recommend.
10 out of 10. Would recommend to friend.
Like, for two professional matches, like, $40 a ticket is not that.
No.
Not a bad deal.
No, it is not.
I could have paid more, but I didn't want to.
Respect.
Yeah. And also respect to M, who flew into Nashville that morning, like, had got a ticket the night before in the supporter section and then, like, flew out that night. I was like, we love the commitment. I have a place to stay. Like, my parents live there. So it was, like, an easy connection.
Like,
so
a little trip. Two for one. You get to see soccer and your parents all in one.
All in one. And we got to go to this very cool distillery called it's called Nearest Green Distillery, but it's a Black-owned distillery, and Nearest Green is the guy who taught Jack Daniel how to make whiskey.
Oh, yeah. You have some of that in your home anyway. I remember that from October.
Now we have more. I won't drink it because I think whiskey is gross. But the distillery was awesome and it was super cool, so it was fun. We also got to do that in that weekend. I know you all care about this. You all should look up Nearest Green, though. It's a cool story. Anyway.
We're doing the best we've ever been. Okay, we have hat tips for you now. First, tiny bebe Chloe Ricketts. The Washington Spirit have now signed the youngest player in NWSL history. Chloe Ricketts was the ripe old age of 15 years and 283 days old when she signed a three-year contract with an option for 2026 with the Washington Spirit. Move over, Olivia Moultrie. There's a new bebe in town.
I did the calculations and...
Oh, no.
We were sophomores in high school when she was born. Marta has been playing longer.
Oh, no.
She has been alive by a while.
By a while. Oh, my coworker turned 23 the other day, and I was reminded that, A, I'm almost a decade older than him. Crabsolutely disgusting. And B, we kept joking. He was like, yeah, when I was a kid, we're like, what do you mean, yesterday? Because the rest of us are like in our 30s, at least like in the office, or in our 30s or 40s, and so we were just like, really making fun of him. And I don't know how I could be on a team with a 16-year-old, not even 16-year-old, and not make constant jokes about how young they were.
But also, the fact that she's so good that she got signed at age fucking 15.
I wasn't good at anything when I was 15.
Oh, is that maybe breathing? Which, again,
autonomic response. Yeah.
That thing. Yes. Did you say that this version?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. We didn't get that far in the – I think you were talking about it earlier with Marta. Anyway, Betsy Sauerbrunn speaking out for trans kids in Missouri. So Missouri sucks. Sorry. I love St. Louis. I do not love Missouri. No. So Becky Sauerbrunn wrote an op-ed for the Springfield News Leader about how Missouri, her home state, what's up, should let trans girls and women play in sports. And we just like love to see that from our – El Capitan. We love it.
Hell yeah.
Go Becky. Go Brune.
And not soccer related news, I bought Jillian a mug.
It's so good. I have it. We'd love to post it. Yeah. Oh, no, I did. I already did post it.
Yeah. I got Jillian a mug that has a picture of Tobias Funke from Arrested Development on it. When he is dyed blue, and it says, Jesus Christ, I'm so blue all the time, which is a line from a Phoebe Bridgers song. And the font of the entire thing is Microsoft Word art. And if that isn't the most niche intersection of interests, then I don't know what is. And so I had to immediately purchase it.
Yeah. Somebody was like, wait, Anna didn't make that? I was like, no. This was available for purchase.
Yeah, it sure was. And that store has some other great ones, but that one is like the Venn diagram of interests. That was too good to not purchase.
Just so good. I love it so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will be seeing the U.S. Women's National Team again in April. So they are playing Ireland in St. Louis on April 11th, and I'm going to see them with Anthony and Sherry, if you'll remember, our one and only guest. No, and that was our first guest. We've had two.
Our first guest.
Our very first guest, two years ago.
Yes.
They'll be playing at City Park, which is the stadium for St. Louis City SC, our new MLS team, which, you know, it's men's soccer. We'll allow it. but it should be a good time. Also, St. Louis City SC won their first game last week away in Austin, which was just, we love to see it. so.
Despite the fact that they are men.
Yeah, it's, again, we'll allow it.
Final hat tip of the pod. Simone Charlie, beloved Angel City player, eats Hawaiian rolls for energy at games. And there is a whole Instagram reel on Angel City's Instagram that includes a funny picture of her at the end of holding like three Hawaiian rolls in her hands on the sideline with one in her mouth. And it's just so funny.
She said she uses it for like quick carbs because she's like, I get really lightheaded if I don't eat. But it's like they're just like smashed in her hand. It's just so good.
So incredible. So good. Okay, now we have drops. And they are a couple of them are substantial drops. So yeah. We will start with the bullshit going on with the Canadian Federation. So first and foremost, it is important for us to note that the Canadian Federation sucks.
Boo. Since I won't be adding sound effects. Boo.
Yeah. Big boo. On February 10th, the Canadian Women's National Team, National Soccer Team, released a statement regarding their anger and general frustrations towards the Federation regarding proposed cuts to both the men's and women's national team programs.
Sorry, I was looking at my phone. That's this fine. Is a problem for a number of reasons. Not me looking at my phone, though. That is a problem. This, the Canada thing. First, it's a World Cup year. What? Second, the Canadian women's team won Olympic gold at the last Olympics. Again, I say, what? Third, the men's team made it the furthest they have ever made it in the men's World Cup last year. That's right. We call it the men's World Cup. So cutting funding now, you know, I'm not a numbers person or that smart of a person, but that does not make sense.
Yeah, so they have been told that there is not enough funding. When, in fact, as I push my glasses further at my face, the numbers from 2022 show that the total in excess of revenue over expense for the year was over $5 million. Those same numbers also show the almost $6 million disparity between the men and between what the men are being paid and what the women are being paid. Oh, and just as a side note, the women haven't been paid for 2022 yet, which, as they say in Quebec, is lay fucked.
Indeed. Then the players were going to strike and not play in the She Believes tournament because why would they want to play and make the Federation money when they have not actually been paid themselves? The Canadian Federation then threatened them with legal action if they didn't play in the tournament. Unsure how they would, pay for that shit if they don't have enough money to support their teams, but whatever. It's fine. It's not, but it.
But sure. Okay. So regardless, as you've heard, Canada did end up playing in the She Believes Cup, though honestly, probably not as well as they would have played if they were not dealing with this fucking bullshit. And a few players posted some further information regarding their specific actions against Canada Soccer, indicating that this is all based on more than player compensation. So they have two larger issues that they wanted to point out, and the information that Gilliman is about to tell you is direct from their Instagram posts.
So poor governance, financial mismanagement, lack of transparency, the widely reported deal between Canada Soccer and Canada Soccer Business ensures that the national programs do not benefit from the increased investment in the sport. And then gender inequity. In the last 2 years, there have been significant funding discrepancies between the women's and the men's national programs. Boo.
Yeah. Canada Soccer President Nick Bontis, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, and I don't care, resigned 5 days ago because he can't find his way out of the hole that he dug for himself. As of the recording of this pod on March 4th in the year of our Lord, 2023.
Is that really today?
Yeah, I had to look it up. I did, in fact, have to look up the date because I wasn't sure. An interim funding agreement has been reached with the women's national team, so we'll see where that takes them as they continue to work on their collective bargaining agreement, which seems like it's going to take a lot of energy before the World Cup, which they do not have to give.
Yeah. And next, there is bullshit also going on in France. So first and foremost, I think it needs to be stated, the French Federation fucking sucks.
I would like to note that before, the original thing that I had written for both of these was that the Federation suck butt. But then I realized that some people like to do that and I didn't want to yuck on their yum.
It sucks butt if they don't like sucking butt.
That's correct.
But if you do, suck something you don't like. We do not have a ton of information regarding the problems within the Federation, but we do know that whatever the issues are, they have caused Wendy Renard, Marie Antoinette Cototo, and I'm going to do it. And I'm not editing this, so I'm going to try really hard. I actually tried to practice it earlier. Kadidiatou Diani to announce that they will not be playing for France in the upcoming World Cup, which is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because they are three important players for the French team. There has been some ongoing discontent with Corinne Diacre, the head coach of the French women's national team, especially from players like Amandine Henry, who, by the way, hasn't been on the roster for the last few camps, which is outrageous because, one, she was the captain for a long time and she's still just as good as she was. Yeah. But we don't have further information. It was reported that Diacre would be resigning as head coach, but then I did a Google this morning, and there have been other reports that she has no plans of leaving.
It is, as I say in France, le foot.
We love bookending things, you know? We love a bit that bookends things. Yes. Okay, next. Alexia Putellas winning the FIFA Women's Player of the Year award, even though she's like not even playing. Okay. Truly. Truly. What the actual fuck? I would like to put out there, this is absolutely zero offense to Putellas, who is a remarkable player, but who has been injured since last spring. 100,000% offense to FIFA, who awarded the FIFA Women's Player of the Year award to Putellas, even though, so the finalists were Alexia Putellas, Alex Morgan, and Beth Mead. You know who won a whole fucking Euros with England this past summer? Beth Mead. No offense to Alex Morgan either. Great player. Love to see her. But, like, one of these players has had an outstanding year in soccer, and the other ones are Alexia Putellas and Alex Morgan. Like, whatever, it's fine. Just make it make sense, FIFA. Make it make sense.
Historically, FIFA does not do that.
No, they don't.
Make things make sense.
No.
Next is Sammy Mewes' knee. So Sam Mewes is still injured. We're very sad. And she had to have another knee surgery. She is rehabbing in the best way for her that is sustainable. And we love that. And we get it. But it's still very, very sad. And she doesn't have a timeline for her return to soccer, which is much, much bummer.
Yeah. Another sad knee is Kristen Press's knee.
Just imagine, like, tears coming out of a knee.
So Kristen Press tore her ACL last year. And as we have mentioned before, well, no, we mentioned her injury before.
Yes.
Kristen Press tore her ACL last year, which we have mentioned before. I know how to read. It's fine. I wrote this. I know how to read. Whatever. And she has had to have three fucking surgeries on her knee. Three. That's outrageous. Anyway, again, there has been no timeline provided for when we will see her play again. And much like Sammy Mewes, she's rehabbing the best way for her. And we get that. But we're really sad about it, okay?
Okay. All right. On to our shared number one, Mallory Swanepoel.
Yeah, Mallory Swanson truly was the star of the She Believes Cup. And if you don't think that that is true, you're wrong. And we would like you, dear listener, to know that we still think Swanson is a downgrade in the name department. But we will be moving on from this, at least for now.
We make no promises about later. No. So she scored in every single game. And sometimes more than once because she is that good. Not to mention that she scored in the New Zealand games too. So, I mean, her goals scored in 2023 is just like outrageous.
Yeah.
So let us talk about some of the goals she scored. Right, meow. The first game the U.S. women's national team played in the tournament was against Canada in Orlando. Sorry.
Do it again.
Let me rephrase. Orlando.
There we go. Thank you so much.
Yes. Mal Swanson wasted zero time getting the ball in the back of the net with a goal in the 7th minute. Wowzers. It is important to note that even before this goal, the U.S. was pressing hard and had some great chances, but Caitlin Sheridan shut that shit down like the Canadian queen that she is.
This goal started with Trinity Rodman having the ball down the outside because, of course, it did. Trinity yes. Rodman is about to be the assist queen of the century, and I'm here for it. Like,
snaps.
Yeah, like Sue Bird is the assist queen in the WNBA before she retired.
Hi, Grandma. My assistant. I'm your assistant. No. Yes.
I don't know what it is anymore.
I don't know who's assistant. What was it?
It's just our Lord and Savior, Sue Bird. Trinity Rodman is going to be that for the U.S. Women's National Team, at least for the upcoming yes. however long she plays. Anyway, Rodman sent in a ball, which was like quickly touched by Alex Morgan, but she couldn't quite get possession of it. But the odd touch set up Mal Swanson perfectly to smash the volley straight past Sheridan to put the U.S. Women's National Team up 1-0 early in the first game of the She Believes Cup. A bad clearance by the Canadian defense that Mal Swanson was able to pick up led to the second and final goal of the opening match for the U.S. Women's National Team. And honestly, we love a player that knows how to capitalize on a moment like that. Like Ralph says, follow your shots.
Yes.
Thank you, Ralph Smith.
Oh, God. I was like, that same thing almost happened in the Canada versus Brazil game, too. And I was like, y'all. I know that you're probably distracted by all the bullshit you're going through, but also don't do that.
Yeah, and especially since that back line hasn't changed a whole lot. Like, Kadisha Buchanan is a stalwart back there. Yeah. And Ashley Lawrence, like, I think that the fact that that happened multiple times is clear that none of them are in a good headspace because they are a unit. But it was unfortunate to see. Great for us in that moment, but generally yes. unfortunate to see.
Yes. Overall, not great. So as you've heard, because I told you so eloquently moments ago, U.S. Women's National Team then had their match against Japan in Nashville. So Mal Swanson scored the only goal of the match at the end of the first half. Alex Morgan sends a brilliant ball down the field that Swanson was not only able to catch up to, but also then control. Wowzers. Keep away from the defender and ultimately score. It's just a chef's kiss showcase of what Swanson brings to the table. Her ability to get the perfect first touch on that ball, more often than not, is a testament to her skill. And we love to see it. We fucking love to see it.
Hail. Yeah, the final game of the She Believes Cup was the U.S. Women's National Team against Brazil in Frisco, Texas. Which is like the only place in Texas that has a stadium big enough. I learned because I had to Google about Frisco, Texas. Anyway, because who the fuck knows about Frisco, Texas?
Just makes me think of Frisco melts. Yeah. Just makes me want a sandwich.
I love a sandwich. Anyway, it was a good physical game, and Brazil held the U.S. Women's National Team off for a long time while also having some great attacking chances themselves. I think this was where we saw the most recognizable U.S. Women's National Team that we've seen in the past year.
Yeah.
But then Alex Morgan scored a late goal in stoppage time of the first half, putting the U.S. Women's National Team up 1-0 going into halftime. And then they came back. And then in the 63rd minute, Rose Lavelle, who, by the way, was playing for the first time all tournament because of an injury. Stupid.
Rose Lavelle, injury.
The injury is stupid. Rose Lavelle is a treasure. Rose Lavelle was running down the field with the ball. She sends a quick pass straight past a defender who like tried to like straddle with her legs to get the ball. I don't know why I said straddle with your legs. You don't straddle with your arms anyway. Do you straddle with your arms? I'm going to have to do some Googling. Anyway. The ball gets to the feet of Mal Swanson, who takes a couple touches to set herself up. She shoots, she scores. U.S. Women's National Team 2, Brazil nothing.
Was truly an incredible tournament for Swanson. She showcased her smarts, her speed, her skills, and we love an alliterative moment. But this is really exciting both for the upcoming NWSL season and for the World Cup this summer. There is no fucking way she will not be on the World Cup team. Like, I bet my, I don't know.
Your bottom dollar.
My new roof on it. It is just going to be so exciting to see her play throughout the rest of this year and in upcoming years. I mean, we're calling this a comeback for sure-sies.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of interviews and talk about Mal Swanson recently, which obviously she's getting a lot of attention because she's doing so well.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of people who've been talking about how she has been making a kind of comeback, but also talking about how like humble and all of these other things she's been over the past however long she's been playing professional soccer. And I'm sure that's all true. Like, obviously, I don't fucking know her. Like, I watch her play soccer. But it's like we're talking about her like she was, like, seriously injured for a long time. And I don't remember any of that. Like, she's had, like, minor injuries here and there, yeah, for sure. And she's kind of, like, had peaks and valleys up until this point. But I feel like everybody else has this like timeline of Mal Pugh's career that I have either completely missed, totally plausible. I don't like pay like the most attention to every single aspect of every single player's career, or we are just like rewriting the timeline of her career because she is hitting such a peak right now.
I think it's probably that, just because, I mean, it's not like she, I mean, she had some time where she wasn't called up to the U.S. Women's National Team. Mm-hmm. So, but she was on the 2019 World Cup team, and she scored in the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she didn't come out of nowhere, and it's not like she was gone forever. But I think she did have some, like, lower points, and I think that she is coming back as a stronger player. Yeah, she's also older and more mature because she was a bebe. She was the OG bebe.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, obviously also apparently every announcer likes to say that it's also because of Dansby Swanson, which
we love a supportive spouse, but like, don't give him credit. She was already a professional fucking player before she even was like engaged to him. I don't know if they were together, but
yeah. I think a lot of it is that she's like an adult now.
Yes. I just spilled water on this keyboard. I hope it's this is good content, quality content.
When have we ever been concerned about putting out quality content?
Obviously never. Because we're still doing this almost 40 episodes later.
We put out content and people are happy about it or not. We don't really care.
People or asterisk person, depending on that day. Yeah. Well, at least Z and Anthony listen, except sometimes Anthony's like, I really got to catch up. And it's like, it's fine. It's really okay. And then he'll text me like 2 months later and he'll be like, oh, that was funny. Saying like a joke from the episode. I love you. You're so supportive.
Yeah, we have great spouses who are supportive of the truly nonsense that we do for this, and we love them.
And, you know, tell us to try turning it off and on again. I can't express to you how much I am literally going to go upload this, right? Like, I'm going to download it, put in the intro and the outro, and then
that's upload it. That's what you're getting. This is the pod that you are getting.
This is it. I mean, this has been an episode of the IT Crowd.
And if you haven't watched the IT Crowd, we're going to plug the IT Crowd because it's a great show.
It is really good.
I love Richard Iwadi. He's incredible. Oh, go watch so the good. IT Crowd.
I quote it. I feel like we quote it all the time. I say, it's not for you, Jen, like a lot. And I don't think anybody gets it.
Probably like, not. Maybe whatever. I'll go watch that right now. I've been watching, and I know Delilah, here's something for you. And if you've made it to the end of this goddamn podcast, I had stopped watching Crash Landing on You because I have to read subtitles for the entire thing. It's a K-drama, and so I have to read subtitles because I don't know Korean, and I refuse to have it dubbed in English because it sounds terrible, and I hate it.
Yes.
And so I stopped watching it because I could not give it the mental capacity that it needed. And so yesterday I started rewatching it. Incredible. So good. But I know that Delilah has also seen it. So that's for you, Delilah. I also like that show. I hope you made it to the end of the pod. And everybody else, you too.
You as well.
Okay, well, we've done it. I don't think we can do much more. I think we're going to lose it if we try to keep going.
I do too. You can look us up.
Yeah, we have an Instagram. It exists. You can look at it. It's at HatPixPod. We have a Twitter still, but I don't do anything with it because Elon Musk can suck it.
Suck, yes. Whatever it is, we hope you don't like it.
Yeah. So suck it.
Because we know he's listening right now.
He knows that we exist as people, and so therefore he's listening to our podcast. But he can suck it, and so I don't really use my Twitter. I look at it for information. Anyway, we have an Instagram. It's at HatPixPod, and we have an email, and it's at – you can email us at HatPixPod@gmail.com. Anyway.
So good. Also, I mean, if I truly do this and go up – I mean, same day pod, I mean –
what a treat for you all.
What a fucking treat. On that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast,
i.e., a shit show.
Which is no different than usual, to be fair.